be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight? I tell you what, the Lord is just so mindful of us and so wonderful to let us be able to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's a privilege, isn't it, to get to come to the house of the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you're a believer tonight? Is it the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life to be able to say, I am a believer? Oh, that's a privilege, friend. That is a privilege. So glad you're here tonight. We're going to look at our prayer request tonight. First of all, let me say that we have Brother Jackie Benton in the service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's sitting in one of the, I guess maybe one of the easy chairs over in the fellowship hall, but we're just so glad that Brother Jackie could be able to be back in the house of the Lord. I know it's been his desire to be here in the house of the Lord, and we're just so glad that the Lord has permitted that tonight. Sister Winters back in the service with us again tonight, so we praise the Lord for that. Sister Winters, God bless you. So we're just glad to have all of you here tonight. It's just a treat to get to see you again. Had good services here over the weekend. The Lord just spoke to us, and we're just glad to be back in the house of the Lord. So glad to have our pastor back home tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just glad. There's just no room to be sad. We're just glad tonight. Amen. The King family says, please remember baby Samuel from Arkansas. He is 2 months old and has been in the hospital since birth. The doctor said it would be 6 more months for his recovery. So they're asking that we would pray for that child tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful and touch that child. Sister Jan Winter says, please pray for my son Randy as he is having sciatic-like back pain. It is so bad that he's had to take off a few days from work to see if it will help the pain. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Barron says to please pray for Catherine McPeace. She has a terrible, terrible toothache, so they're asking that we would remember her tonight in prayer. I want to pray for Brother John Roberts. He has a fever and chills. They're asking that we would remember him tonight. Brother Eric Krause wants the church to know that his nephew Ian has been located, but his situation is still desperate. He needs deliverance and salvation, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight on his behalf. I want to pray for Sister Linda Kennedy. She's been having pain below her kidney, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight as we pray. I want to pray for the family of Patsy Wright from Mount Morris, Illinois. Sister Patsy passed away this week. She streamed all of our services. Also pray for Daniel Wright and son, who asked for us to pray for him and his family that they can find their way back to Christ. So they're seeking to be restored, and we just pray that God would grant that to them. Please pray for the McGraw family. Most of them are sick, unable to be in the service tonight. So we want to remember those folks. Brother Chuck Siminski says to please pray for Brian Blackburn, readmitted to the hospital for seizures and pressure in his head. Also, Sean Seabach just had knee surgery this week. A lot of pain, a lot of recovery going on. Also, back problems. So they're asking that we would pray for those needs tonight. And then Sister Mary Lewis offers this testimony. Thank you for praying for me while I was traveling to St. Louis to get my back injections. It was quite a bit more painful than it had been 12 years ago. But God is good all the time, and I'm praising Him in advance for complete pain relief and healing. God bless you, dear family of God. I love you, Sister Mary Lewis. Well, we love that family too, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, how many of you know that God is bigger than all of our problems? You believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Before we pray, Brother West, get ready to lead us to the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight, because He is so faithful. He is so mindful of our situations. Brother West, God bless you tonight. Certainly appreciate Brother West also tonight, brother. God bless you. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I seem to notice as Brother Louis was reading off these requests that many of them do not seem to be centered around pain. And not just physical pain, but emotional pain, Lord, and different kinds of sicknesses. And Lord, people that are lost and seeking refuge and in Your name, Lord, and calling out to You. Lord, I know that You came here and felt all the pain we feel. You came here and experienced it Yourself in the flesh. And to humble Yourself that way, Lord, and to do that shows us, if we can't understand any other way, we can understand that You cared enough to let us know that You shared in everything that we go through. Father, we love You so much. You're so precious to us, the way that You show Your love, the way You reveal Yourself, the way that You speak to us through Your Word, Lord. Lord, these requests, Lord, are requests that we're not afraid to lay at Your feet. We're not, you know, a lot of us here tonight are not experiencing the pain that these people are going through. But Lord, we can sympathize, because even when You let one of us go through it, it makes us stronger. Every time that we raise back up, every time You heal us, every time that we get the down payment of the resurrection, Lord, we come back stronger. No matter how much the devil hits us, we know that tonight we're one day closer to Your coming. We're one day closer to eternity, Lord. And we're so thankful for everything You're doing. We're thankful for the plan that You've put into place to redeem us, Lord, and to bring us back and to make us one. Lord, we're looking forward to what You have to say tonight, Lord. We're asking for more revelation and more things that would draw us closer, Lord. You can address every individual need in this place tonight. You can speak to each and every individual heart if we come in here with faith, believing that we're here to hear from You. And Lord, we're just asking You and welcoming You to come in among us, Lord, and have Your way and Your will. Lord, we thank You for bringing our pastor back. And Lord, we thank You for keeping him safe. And we just ask that You strengthen him and give him the word that we need for tonight, Lord. We're trusting You in all of these things because we know that we can. By our experience, Lord, one thing after another through our lives, You've trained us and taught us. You've given us the revelation. You've given us the experience, Lord. And now it's time for this army to take hold of faith and believe. And believe like never before, because we know we're closer than ever before. And Father, we just praise Your name, and we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You touch each and every one of these needs, Lord, as we know You will. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wes. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, in the service. We certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Tonight, let me make this announcement just before we sing tonight. Brother Michael says that we have about 70 shoeboxes left to anyone who would still like to do Operation Christmas Child. Tonight and this weekend will be the last chance to pick them up, and the shoeboxes are due back on Wednesday, November the 18th. So if you haven't done that yet, go by. Let's have a complete, let's just get rid of all of them. You want to do that? Let's just do that tonight. If you would, go by and pick one of those up, and let's Operation Christmas Child. Let's make that a successful thing this year. We can do that, I know. I'm so glad of one thing. Somebody said he looked beyond my thought when Solomore Falls. And that's true. But you know what? He was big enough to take care of the faults. And the other faults that he saw, he could take care of them too. I'm so glad for that tonight. Because there was things I could do for you that would be a help. There's things you could do for me that would be a help. But there ain't nobody could do for us what he did for us. He paid the ultimate price. And that's when he gave his life so that we could live. Are you glad about it tonight? And then he not only enabled you eternal life, he revealed to you the greatest message that's ever been on the face of this earth. He revealed it to you and to me. I thank him for it. I thank him for it with all of my heart. I thank him. I shall forever
liberty.
I do
Praise the Lord. It's the truth anyway. The devil will try to make you out of a liar and tell you you ain't going nowhere. But I'm trying to know where he's going. And I do know where we're going. We're going over yonder. Brother Joel Brown, is he in the house tonight? I don't believe he's here. Well, it's fell our lot. You play like you're Joel, and I'll play like I'm you. Let's sing that little chorus. And let me say this just before I forget it. There have been great accolades paid all day long to our veterans. And our veterans in this room tonight, I want this assembly with one big shout out to our veterans. I want to say thank you. To our veterans, we say
thank you.
Give them a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord.
If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going so soon.
We're going up yonder.
Yes, we're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. Going in the rapture to be with our Lord. Give him a hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. You just sung so good tonight. God bless your heart. Just really appreciate that. We've got a special song tonight from the Parker girls. I don't know exactly how they've got it put together, but if they'll come on to the platform at this time, I want you to give these girls a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you tonight. I was getting ready to get in the car the other day to leave. And they told me, said, that song you've been singing, God is good all the time, said, you're leaving part of it out. And they said, what you really need to do is go home and write it down and learn it. And so I said, well, I'll just see if I can do that. So these girls, we appreciate them, don't we? We appreciate them.
Practice much, but don't nobody be nervous. I got to tell this on them. They're supposed to sing this last Wednesday night. And I texted Erica in the day and said, are the girls going to sing? She said, well, I don't know. I'll holler back at you. So I hadn't heard nothing. So I texted her again later, and she said, no, they've been way too grouchy today. Well, Louie, I thought if that was a deterrent, man, you might have to sit down once or twice in our career. I know for me, anyway. But I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you want to help us.
stand to our feet tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Certainly want to pray for him tonight. The Lord give him strength in his body. And certainly glad that he made it home, had a good trip. And, well, I'm sure the Lord gave him something while he was away. So we'll just look to that down the road. But we're glad he's back home, aren't we? Amen. And the brothers that went with him, who that was, we're glad you made it back also. Let's sing a little chorus tonight as our pastor gets ready to come. I didn't mean that in a slanted way. We're glad that all of you made it back. Amen. Brother Darrell, we're glad you made it back. Amen. I'll tell you what to do, Brother Darrell. Come up here just 1 second. Just 1 second. Just 1 second. I know Brother Donnie's getting ready to come and bring the word of the Lord, but I certainly appreciate this guy right here, don't you? I certainly do. He told me just a while back, he said, I'm getting so old, I'm probably just going to have to come off the field and start singing. I said, brother, for the Lord's sake, stay out there as long as you can. I want you to lead us a little chorus tonight, if you would, just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. I aggravate him a lot, but this guy right here means a lot to me. I've watched him since a little bitty old boy, and he's now not a little bitty old boy, but he's a mature man of God. And Brother Darrell, we appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Lead us in the chorus.
Come through many battles together, haven't we? Amen. The old Roan Hill, starting down here in the basement, remembers a boy, and moving upstairs and then building the new church. It's been a long journey, but we're going up yonder. What a wonderful time it'll be when we all gather there. Amen. As Brother Line comes, let's just sing, "It's Jesus that I really want to see." It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, the less it means. Jesus, I really.
Hallelujah, is that your desire tonight?
Oh, it's Jesus.
The more I see all the soul. It means to me, Jesus, I really. Let's sing it again. Oh, yes, it's Jesus, I really want to see. Oh, hallelujah.
That's the truth.
Amen.
This world and the very best that it can offer us, the very best. It's about like living in a dump. with rats climbing all over you, maggots climbing out of your mouth, diseases all inside your body. That's about the best this world can offer you. You can imagine then if someone come by and picked you up out of that and gave you a brand new body and a brand new life and a brand new home, rid you of all disease and trouble. That's just the new birth. That ain't even in heaven. That's just the new birth. Praise God. Amen. Sure. Happy to be back home. Enjoy the presence of the Lord again. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 24, if you would. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm sure that many of you may know already, but Brother Ron wanted me to mention it to you tonight, Brother Ron Spencer. Sister Connie went yesterday and had some x-rays, CT scans, some different things done. She'd been having some pain in her chest, and they found a large mass in her lungs and also a bunch of small tumors in her lungs. So it's a mass and small tumors that are in her lungs. She's going back tomorrow, and they're going to do further testing, biopsies, this, that, the other. But we just want to keep them on our hearts and keep them before the Lord. We know the Lord's brought that family through so many, many things. And we know that the Lord has certainly used Brother Ron and his ministry around the world. He has had great, great impact upon the bride of Christ. Many healings, miracles, different things like that. And we know and understand that for a minister many times to really be effective, he has to go through that. That's why when a cross-eyed child was brought before Brother Branham, not one was ever brought before him that wasn't healed. Why? His own baby died with her eyes crossed. You imagine every time he saw a cross-eyed child, it reminded him of his own pain and his own suffering. So many times we have to go through things in order to really be able to help others with it. So we want to just keep them before the Lord in prayer that the Lord will just move for them on their behalf. And I'm sure there's others that have needs in that. You've got to request something on your heart before the Lord. Let's just go before the Lord and then we'll read the word. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to and talk to. Lord, you're not just a friend that we talk to when we're in trouble. We enjoy talking to you when we have no trouble. We enjoy being on good terms with you when there's really no difficulties in our life. And when the storms are not blowing and the winds are not howling around us, we enjoy talking to you when everything is going fine. The weather is fine, as we say it spiritually. But Lord, what a friend you are to us when difficulties arise. Lord, I've mentioned tonight, Father, to the assembly, and I know that since it's been made known today, for the most part, and it's went around the world, I'm sure, by this time. Father, we know that your people around the world are going to be calling Sister Connie's name before the throne of God. We're just asking you for your mercy, that you would move on her behalf. We pray for Brother Ron, for the family, that you would strengthen them, Lord. May the grace of God just be with them. Father, we know that there are many, many needs among your people, but we know that your power is so great. Lord, Brother Tim preached a message many, many years ago about it being opportunities for faith. When troubles come and difficulties come, it depends on how we look at it. That we can be down and wearied and tore up about it, or we can look at it as an opportunity through which faith can be able to manifest itself. So, Lord, this is what we're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would just come and display your greatness once again. We believe our God is a mighty God. You're an awesome God. Father, we pray that you'd help and meet every need tonight. Father, as we endeavor to look into your word, I pray the presence of God would just come and anoint us. Father God, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. This day that our nation has set aside for Veterans Day, we're thankful for each of those that have served in our military, no matter what branch they are. We're thankful, Lord, that many of them have gone through many tremendous things, that we could have freedom and liberty here in our nation. And then, Lord, we want to turn around and look at the other Veterans Day as well. We believe there's a great day gathering when all the veterans of God will sit around the great table. Hallelujah. It'll be a Veterans Day to be remembered. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we be there at that day, I pray. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father. in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Let's read together Numbers chapter 24, verse 15. I want to speak to you tonight again on the lives of the prophets. We'll look again at Balaam, the mystery of a soothsayer with a true gift of prophecy. He took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Now remember, he's not dreaming. You and I, our subconscious is made to where it's something like this. But a man with a prophetic gift, his first conscience and his subconscious are like this. So he can go from the first conscience, move over into the subconscious, and his eyes are wide open. And you may look at him, his eyes may look like he's in another world. We're not made that way. But Balaam had that ability where he could be able to do this. Now he said, having his eyes wide open. Now, notice he says, I shall see him. Not talking about Israel, but God. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. You say, Brother Donnie, you can ask God's blessing on those words that came from the lips of a soothsayer? Was that truly God's words? It was. It was God's words that came from the lips of this false prophet. And the church said, now the man himself was as false as he could be. Remember, this setting is the last setting before Joshua is going to take them over. Moses is going to die. Israel is getting their last separation. Joshua is fixing to take over. And the last thing they're going to deal with is a false prophet. Now think, something is going to come among them to pull away those who don't have inheritance on the other side. Something's going to come among these message people that's going to be so phenomenal, so in touch with the supernatural, it will be prophetic. And only the elect will know the difference. Now listen, it will be so in touch with God that God will be able to use them. It will be so in line with the divine energy of the Holy Ghost that this man peered down through 3,000 years and saw things that still coming to pass. Called God by names which were secret only to the elect. He would say things about Moab. He would say things about Alexander the Great, who was not even born. He would prophesy how they would come from Alexander the Great's armies and conquer. He would say things which was absolutely impossible for a man to know without supernatural utterance. And yet, this is going to be the last trial before Israel goes into the promised land. I wonder what will come among us. I wonder what will come among us that will try to pull some of us away before we get ready to cross right over into the body change. I don't know for sure, but I know one thing. Whatever it is, the elect will be standing when it comes and goes. Now, watch how that Balaam's prophecy, we looked at it last Wednesday, but let's just tap back on it again. We know that God wrote his Bible in the stars before he, of course, declared it in the heavens. God run the parallel from Abraham from the stars to the dust, and then he turned it around from the dust to the stars. And God wrote rather by the power of the illumination of the sun, how that he would place the things that would happen on the earth. God made the sun, of course, which would be the polarization of the galaxy that we live in. And God even placing the stars by their heavenly position and knowing that the earth is the third one out from the sun. Now, if we'd been number two, we would have been burnt up. If we'd been number four, would have been so cold, nothing would have ever grown. So God put the earth as what? Number three from the sun. Now, we know that the stars, whenever the moon comes out tonight and the stars come out, none of those stars have any illuminatory power on their own. But they are actually reflecting the power of the sun. And there is an equation by which science measures this number and the luminosity given to each one of these. It has to do with the atmosphere that the star has. The polar magnetism, the amount of iron and the amount of metals that is in the core of that star. And according to the amount of gas, and it is reflective light and refractive light, and according to the luminosity of that star is how much that it will make it shine. Now, whenever you look out there and you see the evening star, which is Venus, which is the same star that you see in the morning, which is also Venus, the reason that Venus has the ability to put out such illumination, because the way they rate her, she is 0.7. That is the ability that she has to capture the light of the sun. Now, what makes her that way is the amount of iron ore that is in her core, also the atmosphere that God created around her, in that she's able to receive the amount of sunlight, and the sunlight will turn right back around and she reflects it out. You see, God ordained Christians in exactly the same way. Now, for those of you who have been watching the polar pattern and you've been noticing that Venus and Mars and all them three have been lined up together like this in the last few weeks, but you look at Mars and you see that Mars does not give the amount of luminosity because of the way she's designed. She's designed to where her structure is totally different and her atmosphere is totally different. So she receives sunlight, but because of her atmosphere where she lives, she does not have the ability to receive it in the same way that Venus does. Can't you see the church ages are written out in the stars? As God wrote out about Wesley and Luther and Pentecost and Paul and Irenaeus, and then in the evening time, God hung the evening star there because the atmosphere around that evening star would have a brighter ability to illuminate more light than what it did down through the dark ages. Aren't you glad you live in this age? The only reason that you and I have the ability today to put out more light of God than has ever been known is because of the atmosphere that Malachi 4 has created around us. It's not that we're any better. It's not that we're more godly people, more holy, this, that, the other. It is the predestinated plan of God. Now, we look up in the star and we look and think, well, the sun, each of those stars are five-pointed or six-pointed. But yet, in reality, we know there is no six-pointed stars in that sense. But they are round and they go around and around and around. What makes it look that way? It is the power of the sun which makes them twinkle. As I said the other morning, and in the tree stand about an hour and 15 minutes or so before daylight, and I took my binoculars and looked up at Venus, and I was looking at her as she was glittering, and I said, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I used to wonder what you are. But by the word, now I know you're God's predestinated plan to go. As I look at you, now I see it is the mystery of Don Me. Hallelujah, because I realize it is me. And
yet here this man, which did not even believe what he was saying, but yet by the Spirit of God, true prophecy, he was able to prophesy that the Messiah was going to come. He was going to be a star, and he was also going to have a scepter, which is two separate dispensations. The Lord Jesus is the king of the bride's soul. Is that right? But he's not been crowned king of the known universe right now, and will not be until the time arrives. So that part of Balaam's prophecy is still in the working. But it will come to pass. Why? Because it was not thus saith Balaam, it was thus saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, it was in a twofold character in the way that God wanted to project about Christ. I want you to notice in Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall all the gathering of the people be. Again, Psalms 45:6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Hebrews 1:8, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Unto the Son, he said. Now, can you imagine? Here is God saying to the Son, calling him God. Here is God, the invisible Spirit, speaking to the visible body by vision. And God the invisible is speaking to God the invisible, or the visible, and calling him God. And there ain't two gods. There's only one. But it was the invisible speaking to the visible with a prophetic vision and saying, thy throne, O God. Amen. Don't you understand? My goodness, why these poor people in the message get it all messed up? They got two lords, three lords, five lords. They need a revelation. I said they need a revelation. This is the foundation revelation. Hang on to me. That same God could look at you and say, thy throne, O God. If you are a part of his attributes, he can look at you in bride form and say, thy throne, O God. Hallelujah. Notice this. He says in verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob. So he sees this star as it arises out of Israel. Now, it's not that it's going to come out of maybe Moab, maybe Assyria among the Babylonians, but he sees exactly where it will come. This is one of the scriptures that the people were looking for in the days of the Lord Jesus. This is one of the scriptures that the Magi's had based their faith upon, that a prophet was going to come, a Messiah, and it come through the lips of a liar. It come through the lips of a man who wanted money. This prophecy did not vindicate this man. It vindicated God. Come on, children. Now notice he says, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab. Not only the corners of their cities and their houses, but he will smite the corners of their nation, which means bringing them to a total annihilation. Notice he says, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Now you imagine this man, he's standing here prophesying and telling of something that he himself does not want to say. And yet the Spirit of God is moving on him in such a way, and his eyes are wide open. And it's like he's seeing a star rise. And then he sees a king. And then he sees this king rise up against Moab. Now in this, it's a twofold prophetic utterance, because it will actually start before the Messiah ever comes. It will start in the pre-running or the foreshadow, which will begin with David. And David being in the kingly line, David started absolutely annihilating Moab. It come right on over through Solomon, right on down to the end, but the total separation would come through the Messiah himself. It's amazing how prophecy can be so compound. And people look at it and say, well, it didn't come to pass. You mean it didn't come to pass the way you thought it should? Notice. Now he says, he shall destroy all the children of Sheth. And the Hebrew word Sheth signifies tumult. That is strongly confirmed by this reference. Watch in Jeremiah 48. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he has magnified himself against the Lord. But how did Moab do this? By standing against God's people. Moab magnified himself. himself against the Lord, and he come against God's church, and God numbered his destiny and absolutely rendered him by prophecy to be annihilated simply upon the basis of his treatment to God's elect. Watch. Numbers 24:18. Edom shall be a possession. Seir, which is another name for Esau. Now here the prophet, this false prophet, moves over beyond Moab and he says Edom, which was a possession of the Edomites, or Seir, which was Esau. And he said, Edom shall be a possession of the children of Israel. Now this was fulfilled, of course, early on in the Kings, but it leads up to the fulfillment. So the prophecy could start here and it could be spread over many, many millennia before the prophecy would be totally consummated, which is exactly the way this one happens. Watch. In 2 Samuel 8:14, he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. Now watch how the prophetic utterance would begin under the administration of King David, consummated under the administration of King Jesus. And yet we would look at it and say, wow, well, it would happen like that and like that. No, that's not always the way God brings his word to pass. God may start it here. He may stop it. He may start it. He may stop it. He may start it. It's totally up to him. Look, friend, you ain't going to put God in no box. What's it done now? He says, Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Oh my. And Moses, the days of the Israelites, now they were not allowed to come over against the Edomites. God said, you leave them alone. Don't you bother them. But now watch this prophecy. In between the time of Moses when God said, leave them alone, in the future, God sees Edom is going to turn against Israel. So he speaks it up here. They can't even do it now. If they would have went to try to destroy Edom, it would have totally been out of the will of God. So the prophecy had an element of time that must kick in at a certain time frame. I wonder if it's not the same way with us. Sure it is. The hostility of Edom already in succession and moving, but this prophecy had not been released, the time frame. You know what Brother Brim said about Jesus when he went down there and he was held, and his body was held in the grave? He could not get out of that grave because a prophecy held his body in the ground. David had said, oh my, within that time frame he would come out. He could not come out until the prophecy released him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my. Notice in verse 19, out of Jacob shall come he, not they, he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Now you imagine this man, he's not a theologian, he's not a Hebrew theologian, he's not studied these things. Okay, so the Messiah's going to be this and the Messiah's going to be that. Now I want to ask you something. How do we know these prophecies? How do we know the conversation between Balaam and Balak? How do we know how many altars they made? How do we know how many rams they offered? How do we know what he said? Because God had one man by the name of Moses, and God called him away into a secret place and revealed to him to write down what they had talked about. So all of this whole thing that I preached to you for weeks is based upon one man telling us what went on. And that one man wasn't even there as an eyewitness. You mean to tell me you all believe that? You mean you're going to pick up the book of Numbers, Brother Dow, and you're going to read Balak said this and Balaam said that, and the man who wrote it wasn't even there? He wasn't even there. He had no wiretapping. He did not have some way of streaming what was going on. But the Spirit of God called him and wrote down. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't leave out one detail. The Spirit of God revealed to him the prophecy of what Balaam said. People can call us nuts for following a man if they want to. Your whole Bible is written based upon men following the Spirit of God. How do we know what the beginning was? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How do we know that? How do we know what daylight come into existence. The second day, the third day, or the ninth day, or the tenth day. How do we know? Because God called up this same man and called him by vision back there in the beginning. And you watch him as he was there in the fourth dimension and watching that as it began to ride. And pew, pew, a star over here, stardust over there. And there he was in that vision, seeing it right before his eyes, writing it down so you and I would have an account. And who was it? It wasn't a Sanhedrin. It wasn't 500 men. It wasn't a Bible school. One man. One man caught away in the presence of God and wrote down what God did when the earth started being created. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 20. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. Now wait a minute. He's miles and miles and miles from Amalek. But in the fourth dimension, it's like he's right there. So he looked on Amalek. I want you to notice how God identifies Amalek. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. Now, you know, those of you that have said the genealogy of the scripture know that Amalek was not actually the first, arche, which is the Hebrew word, the first one nation of the world. But God has a total different numbering system when dealing with the elect. Amalek was the first nation that stood against his people. Now, how would you like for this to be your mark? You were the first one to stand against the bride. You were the first one, or the second one, or the third one. Now, God is fixing to determine their destiny depending on how they treated his people. They were not the first nation per se, but they were the first nation that stood against his elect. Oh, my. I'll tell you, friends, it's a serious thing when you go to running down God's people now. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. Now you imagine this land of Amalek lays plumb south. South of the land of Canaan. They're not even in the land of Canaan yet. And this land lays way beyond there. But by vision he's looking right at the inhabitants of Amalek. And he looks at him and says, you're the first one among the nations. God numbers you first. And he will destroy you. Because you're the first one to try to come against his people. Oh my. Notice he said he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perisheth forever. Based upon what? His end shall be, he will be annihilated. Search the entire world over to this day. You'll not find one Amalekite. There haven't been any for thousands of years. God said, I will destroy you because you tried to run down my people. Touch not mine anointed. That ain't just preachers neither. Preachers ain't the only one that's anointed. The bride is anointed, my friends. The bride is anointed with his presence. Oh, I know we've used that for preachers and prophets and all that. But he said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Which shows there is a different separation between the anointed and prophets. Every son or daughter of God that is born in the Spirit of God is a Messiah of this day. And you are an anointed one. Hallelujah. Israel came out under the anointing of that pillar of fire. And God said, because you've done this, I will annihilate you. And he's using the lips of a man who hates these people. But he's so gifted with this gift. He can't alter it. He can't modify it. The Spirit's coming right on him, and he's pulling his eyes and that gift into that fourth dimension, and he's saying it. It's like God's took him over and programming the words, and he can't, I don't want to say that. I don't believe that. And you imagine him standing there starry-eyed and all strange looking, and he's saying, Amalek, I see see Amalek. My eyes are open and I see him. The Amalekites. They were the first of the nation. But says God, I will destroy them. He says, what did I say? What did I say? I don't believe that. I don't like that. It don't matter whether you like it or not. Amalek was the first of the nations, and his latter end shall be he shall perish forever. You imagine, friends? A few years after this was spoken, they ceased to exist as a people. Why? Their treatment. That is nothing compared to the people who speak against God's elect right now. Their name won't just be blotted out on the earth and, you know, say, well, there's no more Americans and no more Germans and no more French or whatever more. But even the very thoughts of the wicked, the very thoughts of the wicked, in the end, when it's all consummated, the very memory of the wicked will totally be annihilated. Notice in verse 21, he looked on the Kenites. Imagine this man just going from stage to stage. It'd be like us sitting and watching a video or something, or a pictures, and it goes, a slideshow, and it goes, so you see this camp, and you see these people, and you identify, okay, that's Amalekites, and that's Moabites, and that's Midianites. And then you come over and you say, oh, that's Kenites. That's Kenites. So he looks and he sees. Now here's Moses, who knows, 6 months later, a year later, however long it was, and Moses is re-seeing the vision. Amen. Moses is re-seeing the vision and seeing it in the right order. And he look, can you imagine now Moses looking and seeing this false prophet as he's looking into the realm of vision. So Moses sure has broken the vision. His eyes is wide open and he's watching Moab. And it's like he's looking through Moab's eyes and he's saying, oh, he saw the Kenites. Oh, he saw the Amalekites. Oh, he saw the Moabites. Don't you see why we needed a prophet? A pastor as well and good as it is. Evangelist as well and good as it is. We're not gifted to do that. I'm not gifted to be able to look like that. Brother Darrell, Brother Horn, the rest of these preachers, we're not gifted to do that. That's why the word of the Lord comes through the prophet. And when the prophet says something in the name of the Lord, that is infallible. God made them so it can't be altered. If anybody would want to alter the word, it would be this man right here. He don't even believe it. But God made it so when he took him over, he's just like a zombie. He can't say nothing. He can't do anything. God just takes him over. He speaks that word. And then God gets on him. Oh, my Lord, what have I done? Oh, my Lord, what have I said? I don't even believe that. I don't even like them people. I don't want to know them people. I don't want them people to have victory. God said, sorry. I use your mouth and your mouth said it, donkey. Thank you. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. He looked on the Kenites. The posterity or the kindred of Jethro. Now you see there were some Kenites that joined up with Israel. And they merged their identity into the making up of the elect. But there were some who stayed separate from the elect. And took a stand against him. Took up his parable and said, strong, strong. Now the Kenites dwelt in the mountains, craggy, rocky places. They were very cunning, very good archers, very good stone throwers, very deceitful in their practices of war. The word craggy nest is Ken, K-E-N. In. Notice their name. Kenites. They get their name from where they live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They get their name from where they live. Notice he said, nevertheless, verse 22, the Kenites shall be wasted. Though they were strongly fortified, looking at them, it would have seemed impossible because they chose the high places and narrow paths to get up to Sarlat Masada, and they was in a place where it seemed like absolutely nobody could get to them, but God's word can reach anybody under any condition, under any situation. There's only one safe place, and that's in Christ Jesus. Though they are strongly fortified, nevertheless the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur. Ashur. Tilgath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, came and carried them away hundreds of years after this was spoken. Through the lips of a soothsayer. Glory. Don't you love God's word? Amen. Now notice in verse 23, and he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? Now the reality hits him in the vision. He said, who can escape this God? Who can escape this love that he has for these people? The Kenites are nothing. The Moabites are nothing. None of these people can withstand these people because they are so beloved of God. Who shall live? Who shall survive when God will do this? Listen at him now. And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim. Ships shall come from the coast of Shittim. Now the Hebrew word to pronounce this is Kiti, which means bruisers, a general term for the islanders of the Mediterranean Sea, the descendants of Javan, the son of Japheth, grandson of Noah. Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, came out of the land of Shittim and had smitten Darius, king of the Medes and Persians. Now here's this man, as false and as fake and phony as he could be from his soul. And you imagine by vision he looks and he sees the conquest of Alexander the Great. And he sees the Macedonian ships as they pull out of the port. Hallelujah. If God can do this with a false prophet, why in the world should we marvel that God would use a true prophet and call people out and tell them, you've been to a doctor and your doctor was heavy set and he had on glasses in it and you know, done this and done that. Why in the world would we marvel? I'm convinced, friend, the majority of the earth don't know what a prophet is. They have no idea what a prophet is. And yet he would come and be a human and he would quote scriptures wrong and get dates wrong. Why, sure he would. He was a human being. But when that thing moved on him, it was absolutely infallible. Brother Darrell and I was talking the other day, and Brother Darrell made a striking comment. He said, you know, Brother Don, if every word Brother Branham said was thus saith the Lord, why did he need to say thus saith the Lord on specific times? Did you ever find Jesus saying that? Thus saith the Lord, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Thus saith the Lord, I'm the light of the world. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus never said it one time. He was the Lord. Glory! Hallelujah! Oh, praise be to God. Don't you see the very thing that blinds people is the humanity of this prophet? And they want to throw all of that out because of the flesh? Why? That's all they got their eyes on. I'm glad I ain't got my eyes on a Kentuckian. I'm glad I ain't got my eyes on Tennesseans. I got my eyes on that infallible word, friends. That's what's going to change our bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Ships. Imagine in that dimension. His eyes are wide open. And he can see those Macedonian boats. He sees the flags. He sees the shape of the sail, which was different than the Romans. Different from the Babylonians. Each woman had a different shape and a different color. And he saw them. Oh, my, by the hundreds. And he actually saw the port they left from. Ship shall come from the coast of Shittim. If God could show a false prophet that, it ain't no wonder that John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, hallelujah. Why? They were made thus. They were made where God could take them over. That's what's infallible. There is no room for human error. Glory to God. Ships shall come from the coast of Shittim and shall afflict Ashur. I hear him speaking of Alexander coming to Persia and Eber and conquering them in the vision, watching by vision. And the boats coming and going in and warring and fighting all the war. And seeing the Greek, the Macedonians flave the victory flag. And him there in that vision seeing it. All he can do is say what he sees. But if you'll notice, he didn't give the interpretation of this vision. He calls these names. He might not have even understood it. Moses might not have even understood it when he re-saw the vision. A vision has to be turned around, the prophet said. He said you might see a sheep, and it might mean wool. You ever hear Brother Ram call the woman out in 1964 and call her Miss Strong or Stout? Well, I'm a Kentuckian too. And in Kentucky language, strong and stout means the same thing. So whatever it was he saw in the vision, it needed to be turned around. People said, oh, that was a mistake. Oh, no. He just needed to reread the vision. Hallelujah. Just need to get the right symbol. Did it mean sheep or lamb? You understand? Did it mean wool? And hear what he's saying, that he just said these words, Shittim and the shore. And this, they said, what does that mean? I don't know. It could have been a tent. It could have been an auditorium. It could have been a building. I'm not sure. And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim and shall afflict Ashur and shall afflict Eber. 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 Huh. The original name of the Hebrews. Or the Israelites. Balaam wasn't even around when this was their name. In the fourth dimension, you can go backwards. In seconds, you reverted back 1,000 years or 10,000 years. In the fourth dimension, you can go fast forward to present tense. You can go fast forward for 10,000 years. For in the fourth dimension, it's as the speed of light, as it were. So it moves back and forth, back and forth. And Brother Bram, tell a person, I see you as a young girl coming home from school. You've got on a yellow checkered dress. You're running. There's a dog after you. It's behind you. Chased you up on the porch. You fell through the screen door. It made you afraid. You've been afraid all your life. Was what he told you the truth, sister? And then the vision resumed and fast forward. And they see the woman as an old woman. But thus saith the Lord, you're healed. So it would go backwards in time and see it there, bring it up to the present tense, give him a breather out of the fourth dimension, take him right back in the fourth dimension, set it fast forward, and see her and all. Oh, hallelujah. This is why I'd see people with arthritis come up on the platform, but thus saith the Lord, you're healed. I see you as an old man. I see you as an old woman. It ain't going to kill you. Well, let me tell you one thing. There's a vision about you and I. It ain't him seeing us as an old man. It's him seeing us as a young man. Oh, glory to God. It's him seeing us change back to young people. Praise be to God. There ain't nothing going to stop that. Nothing. Oh, hallelujah. The ship shall come from the coast of Shittim and shall afflict Ashur, which was the Assyrians, and shall afflict Eber, the Hebrews or the Israelites, and shall also, he also shall perish forever. Not Eber, but the Grecians. Verse 25. Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. Now listen carefully. Now we come to a change from breaking out of the supernatural. God is done saying all he wants to say with this man. As far as we know, he has no more access to the fourth dimension dealing with Israel. Remember, his home was not here among these people. But he was brought from his home by these people to curse Israel. But now, since he has become a part of them by identification, now he relocates. Notice how the scripture says it. Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. Doesn't say went back to his home, but his place. And later we find out he was killed among them. So now he takes on this spirit of absolute, absolute hatred for the people of God. So he loses his identity from the original estate that God had him in, where he could deal with him in a more sensitive manner. Now he's going to his place, but his place is now among the Midianites. He is now relocated. It is no longer called a visitor, but Balaam has taken on the identity of a hater of the people of God. Lord Jesus. Notice that Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also. Now, if you notice this and said in history, I'm jumping the gun on you. But if you study this and look in the history, he could not have went back whenever he was killed right among them. He was killed right there. Later, the book of Joshua tells us he was killed right there. Then watch what Balak did. How that Moses writes this totally different about Balak. And he said, Balak also went his way. You see, it's something in every one of us that wants to go our way. It's the great battle of our lives after we become Christians. It's our way versus God's way. Balak did not hear what he wanted to hear. Balak did not get from Balaam what he wanted. But Balak continued on in his own stubborn, hard-headed way. Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And his way was not a good way. As a matter of fact, Balak disappears from this verse in holy canon of scripture. He's not mentioned again. He chose his way, and his way led him to separation from the pages of the book. Oh my. But now remember, friends, we're not done with this hireling prophet. Now he has the ability to see visions. He has the ability into the secret access of the stairs to know the ascent to God's name. He calls him the Almighty El Shaddai. He calls him El Kippur. He calls him all these great definitive names of the deity of God in his great traits. Because the supernatural is moving on him. Now when that moves off, now Balaam, because he understands there is a way. Now he's done prophesying, but now he's going to start teaching. The prophecy was 100% accurate. It was exactly on the word. Amen. But we're fixing to find out his teaching is what's going to really identify him as a false prophet. Praise the Lord. A false prophet could come right in here tonight, raise the dead, lay hands on the sick, or whatever more. All kinds of things happen. Signs follow. My, some of you would probably follow that man and him saying, well, we don't need preachers no more. We don't need to go to church no more. We don't need this, that, and other no more. I don't care if he goes over and empties out half his cemetery. If he's off the word of God, I ain't going to follow it. Because God is not going to send a man and anoint him and pull him off the word. There's something wrong with that. But I guarantee you one thing, a lot of folks in the message would, because they've got the scripture exactly opposite. You see, I am not a sign seeker. Signs follow me, not me following them. I don't look for signs. I'm not going here looking for a sign and looking for a sign. If I look, I look behind me, because they're where they're supposed to be, behind me. I am not a sign follower. They follow me. What's now? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. We'll look at three things about Balaam. It speaks about his way. having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts that have exercised from the covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam. Now, but where do we get this way at in the book of Numbers that we've read so far? We don't. Isn't it amazing that when it comes to the way of Balaam, the wages of Balaam, and the error of Balaam, Moses goes totally silent. Yes, sir. Right. Moses gives us no account of what Balaam had to say to Balak. He gives us not even an inclination of what Balaam said. But it's written later. Now what? So Peter says, they are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the... You gotta be kidding me. You mean the Bible calls Balaam a prophet? So what if a prophet raises up in the message whose teaching is contrary to the original word? Come on, friends, let's just be honest now. Were some of you folks from Happy Valley following? Or would you judge not just prophecy, not just signs and wonders, but teaching? What's it say about that original word? Praise the Lord. Remember, this is the last sign before they go into the change. This is the last separation before they cross the land under Joshua. This is the last few months of the year, of the 40th year, which they are making their wilderness journey. We're now up to the last few months, and Moses is only going to live a short time after this instance with Balaam. Then Joshua's fixing to take him over. This is the last thing before the change. Yes, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. The last thing before the change for them was not a revival. It was not a great stirring and boy, all kinds of people coming. It was a falling away. It was people from right among their ranks that was listening to false prophecy. Oh my. Let's read verse 16 again. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice. The dumbass speaking with man's voice. So a donkey speaking with man's voice. Then a man could speak with God's voice. And as I said, a donkey with a man's voice don't make him a man. A man speaking with God's voice don't make him a man of God. What is it, friends? The mystery of the normal is the end time. Now look, Jude chapter 1 verse 11 mentions the error of Balaam. Peter mentions his way and Jude mentions his error. Notice he says, woe unto them, for they are gone into the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, it mentions another thing about Balaam, and that is his doctrine. His way, his error, his doctrine. Revelation 2, 14, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now, you were talking about in the church age that God gave this message to one of the church angels, and he said, I've got a fault with you all. I have got a problem with you because you are allowing and accepting the doctrine of Balaam. This is thousands of years after Balaam was dead. And you imagine God speaking this to a Gentile church age. And God had a problem with the church people because them church people was accepting the doctrine of Balaam. I'll tell you one thing, if God had a problem when he said it, I guarantee you still got a problem tonight. So if you accept the doctrine of Balaam, God's got a problem with you. If I accept the doctrine of Balaam, God's got a problem with me. This is the way I look at God. I want to love what God loves. I want to hate what God hates. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, if you embrace it, that puts you and God on opposite sides. Now notice, he says, I have a few things against thee because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak. Isn't this amazing? Now we get for the first time in the book of Revelation, insight by another prophet, John, who tells us finally that Balaam taught Balak something. Moses didn't say it, Joshua didn't say it, Jeremiah didn't say it, but there needed to be a prophet at the end of the book which would tell us the mystery of what Balaam done. Can you imagine that laid there? Lord have mercy. That laid there all of those years, Brother Darrell. It laid there for thousands of years, the mystery of what Balaam done. And God has a prophet on the Isle of Patmos, and he finally tells him, John, Balaam taught Balak.
Think about it.
Oh. Wow, I can't believe I hadn't seen that already. You ever read your Bible or sitting there reading a message book and this is the 3,338th time that you've read it and you're going to go ahead and read it again. You're just sitting there reading it and all of a sudden God just reaches over and turns on the light. And you say, Lord have mercy, have I ever read this book before? Oh yeah, but it's just now your time to see it. So here it was. It laid there all the time. He said he taught it. It was his teaching. Oh. So the teaching is not infallible. Oh my goodness. So the vision, the prophecy, totally infallible. Can't be broken on. No matter how much Balaam tried, God made it so you can't touch it. I won't even allow your human thought to tangle with it. But when that inspiration come off of him, then he could stand up and say, hey, you know what? I figured out a way. All you got to do is invite him over for some fellowship. Now watch what he says. I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So then we see this same spirit that was doing the same thing in the church ages. So there was people coming in among the elect of God and they were teaching them compromise in the name of love. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm all messed up, but I thought it was us lost. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it apparently really different. I thought we were the ones that was lost and we're the ones that got saved. But the more I hear of this modern day world, the more I think they believe God was lost and God got saved. Because God was mean and vile and, I mean, just ready to kill everybody in the New Testament. God got saved and God got love. God is love. But love is corrective. God didn't get saved. He wasn't lost. Now notice this doctrine of Balaam. They were allowing them to cast a stumbling block in front of these New Testament Christians. Now watch as we parallel this now with Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25 verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now what you find is absolutely amazing because Moses closes out and he leaves this lapse of time like the breach. The breach between the prophecy and the doctrine. Silence. It was total silence. Moses, whether God showed it to him or Moses didn't know it, or Moses was forbidden to say it and it wouldn't be released till the end time. So Moses closes out, well, Balaam, we relocated and went among them people and Balak went his way. And then chapter 25 verse 1, and the people of Israel abode in Shittim and then they begin to commit adultery. So you think what happened between the last verse of chapter 24 and the first verse of chapter 25? There was a breach and it laid silent for thousands of years. And God shows one man. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Shittim is a place in the plains of Moab. Call this from the Shittim wood or Shittim wood, which they used, of course, to make the ark and overlay it in gold in different parts of the tabernacle. This was the last station of the journey of the Israelites. before they're fixing to cross over. Now notice, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people, not all of them now, but the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now watch Moses as he recalls this in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But he that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, unto this day. So everybody did not follow the teaching of this false prophet. It's written in the stars. Now watch, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now, this verse doesn't actually tell us, but in Numbers chapter 25 verse 6, it blends in also that it was the daughters of the Midianites as well. So we've got Moabitish women, and we have Midianitish women. Being ensnared and enamored by their beauty and their sex control. They were heathens, of course, in the sense of the way they worship. Now remember, Moab is coming from Lot. So they knew the truth about God, yet they worshiped Chemosh. They worshiped Jehovah, but they also worshiped their main god, was Chemosh, which was the god of fertility. So in order to worship Chemosh, they merged in sex acts in their worship. So in order to worship, you had to do all this along with worship. Now where did they get this instruction from this false prophet? Now he could stand right there and his eyes be wide open, look plumb over into the Mediterranean and see Alexander the Great. He could look up into the stars and see Jesus as the Messiah. He could see the destruction of the Assyrians. He could look down through time for 3,300 years and see prophecies that have been so accurate you could bet better than any clock you could ever look at. But once that anointing got off of him, he was cunning enough to devise a plan to be able to cause God to turn on these very people that he loves so much. God could protect Israel from being prophesied to falsely by this man, but Israel could not protect themselves from merging into false doctrine. Whew. Boy, you're quiet tonight. Oh my. It was Balaam under this silence, under this breach. And Moses doesn't mention it. Joshua doesn't mention it. None of the rest of the books mention it. That he began to teach. So you imagine one service after another, after another. Now there's no thus saith the Lord. Now there's no vision of the Greeks. There's no vision of the Macedonians. There's no Greek. There's no vision of the Romans. Now it's not fourth dimension. Now it's this dimension of time. The elements around you. Balak, I figured it out. We cannot touch them prophetically. But if we can teach them to err and compromise, God himself, who protects them by prophecy, will wear them out because of their disobedience. Do you understand that same principle works for us? The devil cannot stop you as bride as far as prophecy. All the things that's been said about you, there ain't enough devils out of hell to stop it. But if he can talk you into just simple disobedience to the word of God, talk you out of having a prayer life, a walk with God, an everyday consecrated walk with the Lord, then it will cause you to get cold and indifferent. Come on, children. And yet what will he do? Then he will force the hand of God to deal with you and I in the meaning of reprimand. And you'll bring a pastor to the pulpit or an evangelist and say, you need to quit this and you need to quit that. Why? Because Satan has talked us in by doctrine into compromise. Oh, notice in Numbers chapter 31 verse 14, and Moses was wroth with the officers of the host and the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these cause the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. Watch him now. Now he breaks open and he lets us know it was through counseling. I am so amazed at folks who want to leave this message. But they don't call men of God who've given 30, 40, 50 years of their life in studying it. They go to a website or go to YouTube or go to some of these people that couldn't even quote 10 scriptures word for word and get counsel from them. Now let me show you a very simple illustration. If I reach in my pocket tonight and I pull out an apple, and it was part red and part green, I start eating on that apple. I know the mystery of what kind of apple that is. And if I hide my expression, you'll not know whether it's sweet or tart. You'll not know for sure exactly which one it is. You might sit there and analyze, well, I believe it's this, and I believe it's that, and I believe it's something else. But I'm the only one that'll be able to know because I'm eating of it. You can debate with me all you want to. It's a Jonah gold. It's a red delicious. It's this and that and the other. You can spend the rest of your life debating and scientifically trying to prove me right or wrong. Or you can simply ask me. Why? Because I have had the experience. I'm the one who bought the thing. I'm the one who pulled the sticker off of it. And the seal was released. And when I sunk my teeth down in it, the identity or the contents was made known by my taste buds. Then why in the world would we want to ask a bunch of these painted-faced Jezebels out there, what do they think about the message? Why not ask people who've given their life? Why not ask people seek counsel from those that you see God walking among them? Now watch how Moses now over here in chapter 31 gives us a little insight. Because these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. The matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So here is the matter of Peor. The name of this hill is called Baal Peor. Unlike Baal Shemesh and Baal some of the others, this was two names merged together. The name of a location merged together with their god, and their main god was Chemosh. So they would tack the name of their god according to the festivity or the place. They're not just after them to commit adultery. They're wanting to pull them into idolatry. And they use Satan's original trick, a woman. Satan's using the same thing today. Not just so much natural women, but churches. All of these denominations. Oh, it don't matter what you dress like. It don't matter what you look like. Don't you see what he's doing? It's the matter of Peor again. He's dressed up the Laodiceans. Then it was the Moabites and Midianites. Now it's the Laodiceans. He stripped the clothes off of them and got them out here at the churches in one sense of the word. And nothing but sex to strip down harlots. That's all they are. You don't have to live right. You don't have to do this, that, and the other. All you got to do is just come to church and say, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. If thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And he gets them drunk on their fornication, the wine, their fornication. Come on, children. And they are tied by the umbilical cord of Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism into the Catholic Church. Hallelujah to God. They are drunk. But aren't you glad God sent a prophet with a message to wake you up out of your drunken stupor? Oh, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Hallelujah. Let me find a place to close in verse 2, chapter 25, verse 2. And they call the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. The origin of their sin, the doctrine of Balaam. The instruments of their sin, beautiful, stripped off women. Beautiful, stripped off churches. Baptist, Methodist, Church of God. Years ago, we could say that only was them. And I'll tell you one thing, as we go on in time, now it's stripped down message people. Some of the preachers in this message ain't got enough backbone to even preach holiness no more. Don't even preach the full gospel anymore. Becoming like Laodicea. What is it? It's that last pull, the last thing before the bride leaves this world in a body change. What is it? Oh, let's just love everybody. Oh, let's just love everybody. You don't think God was love then? You don't think God was the very fountain of love? Sure he was. People don't understand what love is.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Let me read you here just a few lines of this quote. We'll pick it up again next week, Lord willing. In spite of the fact that Balaam knew the proper approach to God and could bring forth a revelation from the Lord by means of a special endowment of power, he was still for all of that a bishop in a false group. For what he did now in order to win favor with Balak, he formulated a plan wherein God would be forced to deal with Israel in death. Now, let me ask you something. Where did this man get this understanding? From Satan himself. Satan knew he couldn't stop the prophecy. But if he could talk them into getting in error, then Satan would force God's own hand. Satan would force God's own hand, and God would be obligated by his own justice to get his own children. Those of you that are familiar with this story, you know 24,000 people died of the plague. You know what stopped it? We'll look at it next week. Phinehas, the heir to the high priest office, comes in and brings a javelin and runs through a man in the very act of adultery with Cosby. Him being a prince, her a princess. And he takes this javelin, runs right into the tent, and runs through her belly and kills them both. Now, how would the modern age identify this man? That he had love? Huh? The Bible says he made an atonement. I thought blood made an atonement. Don't you understand what atonement is? The sin, the sacrifice of those doing the sinning stopped the plague. And God looked at him and God was so moved. God said, come here, I'll smack you. You hit my people. You hit my children. God said, oh, thank you. Thank you for doing that. You blessed me so much for doing that. I'm going to give you the priesthood forever. And God is a God of love, is he? Oh, I know Laodicea, my. They look at a preacher that preaches the truth. Poor guy, he's so ignorant, he's so stupid. Them poor people. And God looks at him and said, that's my boy. That's my boy down there. That's my son. I'd preach the same way, Donnie, if I was a pastor back to that. Lay it on him. God said, because of that, I'll give you a place in me forever.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Oh my. Lord Jesus, some of these things hold an element that frightens us, Lord. I know I could sense it when I was dealing with it, that sense in them that they were listening so carefully, wondering what lays before us. We don't know. Well, you've given us your word where we would be able to identify false prophets. It's not because they won't have access to the supernatural. It's not even because, well, there's no healings among them. Oh no. There'll be some genuine healings. But we know that you honor faith. It ain't got nothing to do with that man doing the praying. You honor faith. And if people have faith, they'll be healed. Lord, I pray, whatever the future holds for us, for me, for Happy Valley, for the message followers. We've been through so many things. This man's raised up, and another, and another, and another. What will be the last one, Lord? What will be the last one? Just months or weeks or whatever before we take our journey. The final separation.
when the last 24,000 will fall away. Your prophet tells us that you let a false prophet rise among them. His appearing proved they had no inheritance in the land. Their name was not in the book. Lord Jesus, may we not judge men just by their emotion, by their crying, their tears, their miracles, their signs. But maybe listen to their teaching. What are they trying to promote? Are they leading us to them? Do they feel they have an exclusive something, that they're the only ones that has it? That's the first red flag right there. Because this is a body move around the world. The days of a one-man ministry are over. There's only one man that all the bride will hear, and that one man is Malachi 4. You never call me to be the pastor of the world. You never call Brother Darrell to be the evangelist of the world or other men to be the pastor of the world. You've got one man that'll affect the bride, the whole bride, and that's your prophet. All the rest of us find our little humble spot, and we're glad just to even be in the spot, Lord. Help us, Father, no matter what comes our way. Lord Jesus, teach us, I pray. There were some believers there that saw the same things and heard the same things. But yet, Lord, they refused to be identified. Lord God, you're this great prince, a great man among them. Maybe feeling he was exempt from this. He brings this woman right to the tent, right in front of Moses, right in front of the elders of Israel, crying and weeping, feeling he could get by with it. But you had a man of God that got up from the prayer meeting and got a javelin and put an end to the plague. God, give me strength. Give me courage. Lord, in my makeup as a human being, I hate war. I hate conflict. I hate preaching hard. But God, may your anointing, may it always come upon me, Father. May I not reach for the pamper box. May I not reach for the pacifier box. May I reach for the javelin. Lord God, may I reach for the sword that'll cut the shackles off of your children. Lord, and if need be, may I reach for the javelin. Oh God, I hate throwing the javelin. I hate it, God, when I have to, but sometimes we're called to do it. Help me, Lord, that I'll not compromise in this soft, lax age of Laodicea. Give us men like Phineas. Give us men after the order of Melchizedek who will stand for this word, not out of hate, not out of enmity or strife, but out of the real love of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Keep us, Lord. Keep us true, I pray. When the winds of doctrine blow and storms come our way, when the dust is settled, the storm clouds have passed, and the boat has calmed back down to the still waters, may we still be found sailing with Jesus in life's solemn main. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord. You love him, children, with all your heart. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King, shall we? Thank you, Lord. I know it's hard sometimes. You come to church and maybe there's somebody that has to be run through with the javelin. You've got to sit there and watch it happen. It's tough. You imagine how difficult it was on them people there. They was innocent. And yet they had to watch this man be run through by a servant of God. There's times that you get the oil rubbed on you and your sores are kind of mended. And you know, only God can really be able to orchestrate a service in the way that it ought to go. But this is the way I feel. If I need a sword took to me, I want God to take it to me. If I got some shackles on me and things need to be cut off, I want the Lord to do it. I want a man of God that's willing. Amen. Not a compromiser, but a man that's willing. Praise God. Don't you? Amen. We worship you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stand here in the presence now of Jehovah before we go. I'll let you go just a few moments. Hallelujah. Oh, children, may we run to the rock. May we be hid in Christ the Word. If false prophets rise, false teachers, false accusers,
all kinds of websites trying to say Brother Branham was this and that and the other. Let them arise. Let them come. Let them go. Their judgment will be determined by how they stand against this truth. Jesus says it would be better for them if they were never born. He said when you go into a city, if they don't receive you in that city, when you go out, shake the dust off of your feet. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will for them. I want you to think of that. Can you imagine a city of a bunch of perverts that God would have more mercy on them than He would people who's turned down the gospel? Can you imagine people who sat in this church, people who sat in message churches around the world, now laugh and ridicule and make fun of the prophet and the preachers that are giving their life to preach it? It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah if they don't repent and get right with God. Oh my, hide me, Lord Jesus. Hide me, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. May we go into the cleft of your side, Lord God. Hide me from Balaam's error. Hide me, Lord, from Balaam's doctrine, from Balaam's way. May I not be deceived by Balaam's anointing. May I not be deceived by Balaam's gift. May I not be swayed by Balaam's ability to see visions. Help me, Lord God, to stay true on your word. Hallelujah. How many feels that way tonight? Amen. Friends, don't put confidence in your... Oh, Brother Donnie, I'll tell you one thing. I've been around this word. Don't put no confidence in your flesh. Don't put no confidence in your years. You've been around the word. May God hide us in Christ. Don't take no arrogance. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. Nobody will never deceive me. Watch what you're saying. If a man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Amen. We're secure in the Lord Jesus, and that's the only place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hide us, Lord Jesus. You remember Brother Branham telling us about the man that had the dream. And in the dream, he dreamed it was a rabbit. And there was some dogs after him. And he got to running and running and running. And the more he ran, the closer them dogs got to him. And he kept on running and running. And right when he looked back and thought that they was going to get him, he run into a place, and it was a place of safety. Brother Branham likened that to the believer and said them dogs were the hounds of hell. The hounds of hell. I heard him say it the other day. He said, aren't you glad in this mad age when people have been bit by a mad dog? The rabid, friends. Laodicea has got spiritual rabies. They don't know who they are. You know the story. Whenever me and Harry was exposed to the rabid thing, one thing that made that so traumatic for us as kids was our grandmother told us all kinds of tales about people who got rabies and they had to chain them to the bed and do this and that and the other. So whenever I found out that I was bit by a rabid fox, I thought, oh no, they're going to have to chain me to the bed. You know, I'm a 10, 11 year old kid. So I mean, I was absolutely scared to death. On the way to the doctor, I told Mama, I said, Mama, please don't let me bite the kids. You might laugh, I wouldn't. This is what I had in my mind. But if you can understand it spiritually, Laodicea is rabid. Whenever the hunters come that day in Kentucky there, and they brought their dogs, they found that fox that bit us up in a tree. Any of you know anything about foxes? No, foxes don't climb trees. But they come, and my uncle shot that fox out of a tree. It was out of his mind. Rabies had drove him nuts. And if we had not taken 7 shots up this side and 7 shots up this side in our stomach, one each day for 14 days, we would have took rabies too. Oh, glory to God. I remember one day I was out there. I'd been bit. I was in Laodicea and I had rabies. I was foaming at the mouth and I was chained up. Glory to God. But I got a good dose of Malachi 4 serum. Hallelujah. They have different things that they make the rabies serum out of. And the one that we took was made from a rabbit. A rabbit. So they took that out of the rabbit's body and put it into ours. And it kept us from getting rabies. Oh, glory. I was out of my mind. I was foaming, I was running, screaming, hollering, glory, this is it, this is it, this is it. I didn't even know what it was. Glory to God. But I start getting them shots. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. It didn't go over good. I didn't like it. Oh my, every one of them shots. Harry probably remembers them. We went to the doctor's house and laid down on his couch and he'd stick that thing in our belly and tears would fall out of his eyes down on our belly as we took it. It didn't feel good and it hurt me. But I figured the end result was it's going to save me from going nuts. That's the way I look at this message. It's going to save me from going to hell. It's going to save me from the tribulation period. I've already got my right mind back. Hallelujah. I'm not bad no more. I ain't got rabies no more. I've got my right mind. I've got the mind of Christ. I'm getting my shots. I've got them up this side. I only like maybe one or two more and I'm going to be changed. I'm going to get my full treatment. I'm going to get changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hey, sing something. Let's just worship before we go. Oh, don't you appreciate Him, children? I appreciate Him. I appreciate you. I appreciate our ministers, don't you? I appreciate all of you with all my heart. I appreciate all the believers around the world. Thank God, God still has people who want to hear the truth. They want to hear the truth. They come knowing there's a great chance that may get preached on and they come wanting it if there's something in their life. Amen. Let's just sing a little before we go. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe if you feel a little touch of that rabies tonight, I believe the great doctor is here tonight to give you a vaccine. If you're out of your mind and you don't know who you are and you're losing your sight and you're frothing and foaming at the mouth, why don't you let Him give you a good dose? It didn't come from a rabbit. This vaccine come from a lamb. Glory! Yes, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, my Lord. And the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. From my womb. Saints, won't you clap for me? Let me hide myself in thee. Let the to thee for
dread.
Thank you, my Lord.
Helpless to thee for grace, I do the fountain fly, wash me,
saints, go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I love this one here. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing in my hand I bring. Glory. Sins, we come to thee to be dressed by the word of Malachi 4. Lord God, here we stand. Help us. Help us. Look to thee, O God, for clothing grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God. Bow unto as an eagle.
The secrets flow. Deep of sin.